Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the Dead Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood, typically. But this is March, Women's History Month, so we're sitting down with the women that birthed us. Not that this particular guest has birthed anybody just yet. But the women are important, and it's a good thing to tap in to understand what's important to them when it comes to fatherhood, when it comes to understanding men and what men's value is in society. Today, we got the amazing Lee Greer. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here and to be a part of this conversation.
Indeed, indeed. I think it's going to be I know it's going to be a good time because I only have good times on my show. Get my timer started here. Make sure that we're tracking. Lee, where are you from?
I am originally from Dallas, Texas, born and raised.
Gotcha. Gotcha. What was life like early on in Dallas? Who was in the house?
Well, life was a blast for me, honestly. And I'm realizing that the more and more I hear other people's story, yeah. I'm very fortunate. I had both my parents in the home. They are still married today. It was them and 4 Rugrats. Okay. So we had a blast.
Where do you sit in the pecking order?
I am the baby. Ooh. So I run the house.
Me too.
Am I correct?
Me too. It was only 2 of us and my sister was 5 years older. So that wasn't a whole lot of conflict.
Yeah.
We got closer when she moved out, when she went to college, because we just didn't run in the same circles. Over 5 years, it's no business hanging with a 17-year-old when I'm 12. So we got a lot closer. So I understand the perspective of being the youngest. What was your experience as the youngest child?
Well, I mean, I pretty much run everybody's shift. It was all indicating I was headed exactly where I am today, being a drill sergeant, wellness coach.
Okay.
I pretty much ran the house. Honestly, when people meet my siblings, they always think I'm the oldest. Very bossy. I think that's the baby's role in the family, though. Like, I don't know if the parents are just tired of trying to say, you don't run me, but they just let me run it. So I ran it.
What's the age difference between all the siblings? Not to put you on the spot, but to put you on the spot. Between you and the next, what's the difference?
My brother is actually a year and 11 months older than me. And then my sister is like 5 or 6 years older than me. And then my oldest brother is 7. He's like 7 years older than me.
Okay. So my kids are today, they are 21, 19, 17, 11, and 10. So they have 2 different sets of parents. The first 3 got a version.
That's right.
Then we had a break. And then my wife kept getting pregnant. Like, it's wild.
She just kept doing it by herself.
Wild times.
That's crazy.
I mean, they look like me. So there's no jury.
That is insane how you just blamed her. But we'll... Yeah. And in Women's History Month.
In Women's History.
That's crazy. Yeah,
It's all her. It's all, she's a real MVP, though.
Talented woman.
What was the best thing about having, because I only grew up with 1 sibling. What was the best thing about growing up with siblings? Because I look at my children sometimes envious, and other times I'm like, I don't know if I would want 4 more y'all vying for attention and for resources.
It's just always full of energy, a house full of love and lots of energy. And we also had the house in the neighborhood too. So if your parents kicked you out, our doors are open.
Gotcha.
My mom had 1 rule. You need to call your mom. You need to let her know you're safe. You need to let her know where you are. And other than that, like, you could stay. So I think kids were trying to get kicked out after a while to come to our house, all the snacks, all the things. And it was just, a blast. Honestly, my mom really made it like a fairy tale. She was really into that, probably because of her own upbringing. She kind of wanted to be all the other things. You got the tooth fairy. We baked the cookies for Christmas. We did all the things. So it was honestly like just a beautiful childhood.
Gotcha. What was your dad like?
My dad is old school. So he is like, provide and slide to the side. He is like, you can catch him at work or in his recliner, but also very much active. And like, if he, I can't remember too many sporting events that he missed for me. Like, he's always there. He's going to give me the direction on the side. Like, you could do this, this, and this, watch this girl do this and that. So, very hands-on in that way. But other than that, I think he did what, you know, like you would expect like an old school man to do, like keep this roof over our head and make sure we don't kill each other.
The basics. So that there's that answer. Then there's the nuance of you being the youngest and being a girl. So I have a perspective that I'm assuming, but I want to, was there anything special about the relationship because of that?
Oh, still to this day, like I am his sun and moon. Like he's, you know, I don't know. He still tells me to this day, like, you are the apple of my eye, baby. Like he's, I don't know. It's something about, I think, being the youngest and a daughter, it's just a different experience. Everybody knows if there's problems with my dad, come to me because I can get it resolved. And they're always sending me. If we want to ask, can we do something? They're like, go ask him. They're pushing me to go and ask because he has a soft spot for me. And I love that for me.
Sure. what is that like looking back on it now? So there's the real time effect that I'm sure at some point you learn how to work it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How to work that relationship. But looking back on it and just the smile on your face as you talk about your dad, I know there are some lessons that you got from it. Like what does your dad mean to you as you look back at life in various points? And you can pick whatever point you want to start.
Oh,
with.
Certainly. There's so many things, so many aspects that he's played such a huge role in. Like, I'm so grateful looking back, even how I show up in the world today, just knowing who I am specifically as a Black woman. He was very strict on sit down and watch this documentary and learn where you come from, learn who you are. We couldn't talk during the documentaries. A lot of times just about, you know, like African-American history, things like that. Where do you come from? Who are you? You are a queen. You are this and you're not what the world says that you are. So he was very focused on that. So that played a huge role for me. And just the way I navigate interactions with men and stuff like that, I understand. A lot of times if you don't have a father figure in the house, you think a man is trying to tell you what to do. He's trying to run you. No, your dad has already set the tone and you are to check in. Like, I have to, not only when I pull into the garage, I need to call you when I get into the house and I understand what you're trying to do. You're covering me. So it's a lot. It's so many things, but that's a good starting place.
Ooh-wee. So there's this point in certain episodes where I say I'm out the window. I'm down the mountain. I'm on the slope because I'm going to say something that might not resonate with the mass. And that's fine because differences of opinion make the world go round. I like everything that you said about checking in, right? How has that been a positive impact on relationships with men in your adult life? Having that, the framework of, I'm not attempting to control you. I care about you and it looks like this. So right. Perhaps when it shows up in your adult life, it doesn't look like control. How is that kind of shape the way you approach relationships?
I always like to say you are better able to understand a man when you've had to stand under a man.
Ooh.
So ooh, for please. Me, that's how it shows up today as well. Like if I require that you are a good leader in partnership with me. So when you are attempting to lead, I'm not attempting to buck back at you and say, don't tell me this or that. It's natural to me because I expect you to fulfill that role. Now, if you come in and you don't know how to lead, I also am able to quickly recognize that and know that this is not a good place. Because again, I was the boss of the house. And if you don't have those leadership skills, then to me, we're going to be out of balance because now I'm running it because you didn't know how.
So a man's leadership at his core shouldn't make you feel less.
Right. I think that's just the order of things. Like, my house is very much in order, in my opinion. And that's it's fine with me. Like, it could be extreme to some people. Mm-hmm. Like my brothers, they still will be like, why do you not fix my plate? If they're not like in relationship or, you know, like married or whatever, they would look like, what are y'all doing?
So you, we didn't really get into it, in terms of what you do, but you're a fitness instructor. I don't want to misquote it.
So I'm a wellness coach. Do all types of coaching as far as like habit coaching. I do nutrition. I also actually teach a few classes. My classes are very minimal at this point because I'm moving more into the space of, you know, just teaching.
Right. And I wanted to frame that out before I ask the next question in terms of, you work with a lot of women, correct?
Yes, lots of women.
Is your attitude towards a man's place, would you say it's common in what you see, assuming you have conversations that lead to that?
Absolutely not. Like, also part of my business, we have what you call like girl talk. Mm. So after we do our sessions, we typically sit for an hour to an hour and a half. And just kind of, if you need a place, it's kind of more of like the sanctuary where you come just lay it all down. You could talk it out. You could tell us what's going on. And I had a client of mine tell me, the way that you speak about your father made me understand why people want to have a husband. She said, I never could even conceptualize it because I never had a man in my home. I've never seen that. Ooh. In the way that you say, like, your dad is so protective. Like, the people in the neighborhood, no, do not play with Mr. Greer at all. Don't do it. Don't play with his daughter. Don't play with his wife. Don't play with his children. Don't step on his grass. And so, like, she was just like, I never understood that. And now I understand that. So definitely not a thing. And always talking to a lot of women about how femininity brings things into balance. And when you've had to harden yourself, and it's not necessarily your fault. If that role was absent, you had to step up and do what needed to be done.
Sure.
But when somebody tries to step up and it's kind of like a hard surface, it's challenging.
Do they seem to be open to it? I mean, that was a great example of your testimony opening someone's eyes. But do you feel like in those sessions, not that they're intended to bring a healing or a conclusion, I don't know, but do you think more of stories like yours help, or are some just, you know, beyond jaded because of their lived experiences?
I think it depends on the perspective of the person who's telling the story, because if you make it, you'll see a lot of times women speak like, oh, you don't understand because you didn't have a daddy. And to me, that's sad because they didn't choose not to have a father. So when it's a welcoming thing and I'm telling you a story from a place that lets you know that this role is not really disposable and it does play a huge role in how you show up, and you're not supposed to actually be carrying that whole load by yourself, it's more welcoming. Like, girl, come on over to this side.
Yeah.
Put them bags down.
Yeah. That's a word that you said. It's not disposable, because I think, and this is just my opinion, so if I'm out the window, I'm out the window alone. I think that there's sometimes community has negative impact. And when you get to the think tanks where everybody thinks alike, mm-hmm. or your story resonates with somebody and you just find people with similar stories that just reinforce the negative connotation. I see a lot of that. I mean, I've had posts that are talking about the experience of a man, and I've never seen so many women like experts on the experience of a man.
Right.
Even in having grace in the response.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sometimes some of them are so committed to, this is what I believe because this is my experience and every experience has to be like this. So I'm glad we're having this conversation on this platform for a couple of reasons, because women do tune in as well. But I want men to understand the importance of presence, because not once did you say your father was perfect. And salute to my guy, Reggie George. He has a brand called Father Figure. And the tagline is, be present, not perfect, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And having these conversations with men, I've heard the whole spectrum. men have given up on women because of their experiences. It's been difficult to be a father.
Yeah.
I'll just wait till the child is 18. I mean, it's heavy to hear it, and it's hurtful. Breaks my heart to hear a lot of these stories, but I do believe that there's a place and a space to give hope. So I hope this conversation does that. What is your dad's role in your life today? And I'll kind of give it context. Because I have children at a spectrum, they get parented differently. Like mm-hmm. I can't punish the 21-year-old like the 10-year-old.
Right.
Right. Because she has a lived experience and life is, I can only kind of advise and coach, which is difficult when they still live in your house. sometimes you want to revert back to the you must, you shall, you will.
Right.
But what's your dad's role in your life today and the importance of it?
I would say today my dad is an advisor and a partner. I bring ideas to him, get his perspective. I respect his opinion a lot because there were times, especially in my early 20s when I was doing contract work, where he advised me of certain things that today I see if I had listened to you, then I wouldn't even have this hiccup right here. So in retrospect, a lot of times we can look back and learn stuff, but how does it apply to you today? Are you listening going forward? Or are you just like, dang, I should have listened then? And it's not too late. As long as he's living and breathing, I run it by him, see what he says. And his opinion weighs very heavily in every decision that I make. Because, I mean, he was definitely on to something. He showed me stocks. He was like, you need to buy this. You don't need those shoes. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I'm just like living my life like it's golden.
Yeah.
Not listening. But so, yeah, that and even in like from a relationship perspective, if you have proven yourself, I will present you to my dad. If he says no, you are out of there.
That was my next question. What does it take? And this is not a recipe for how to get with Lee. Stay out my DMs because I don't have no end on that. No end on that. What is it? What do you have to see in your partner or your potential partner to even present them to your father?
Oh, consistency. Because it's going to take you a while to get in front of my father. Now, my mom, she is so sweet. Oof. She is so sweet.
I hope she's praying over me right now. She's sitting here watching.
Yeah, she will meet you. She will like you. She will pray for you and be your friend forever and meet all your cousins and do all those things. But my dad, it takes another level of clearance.
Yeah.
Because too, I think a father-daughter relationship is a little bit more, what is the word I'm looking for? Sensitive. Like you have to consistently show up in a way that makes you deserving to come by my father. And he is not easy at all. Like, for instance, he's like, you can fool my wife and my daughter, you cannot fool me. Yeah. And I'm like, well, you didn't make it.
has he spared you some heartache?
He I've had a dating experience where he told me, baby, that is not it.
Yeah.
That is not it. And from then on, I can't unhear it. My dad can see. I feel like a man knows what a man should be. Yeah. As a woman, you can say, oh, yes, you're this, this, and that. But if your father is telling you no, and he doesn't even like telling me no about anything. So I know if he's saying no, then it's something.
I know that feeling very well. I have 3 girls and 2 boys, and I had 2 girls first. So I always say, super soft, super soft as a father. I can never spank them. I mean, I could look at them and they would right. understand the nature of their sin. And that would be punishment enough for them to, you know, my oldest one, and I keep saying my oldest one, she, you know, she tested the water a little bit. She got older. But how did the relationship fare as you moved into womanhood? Was it always that healthy respect for your father's opinion, or did you find yourself sometimes out there trying to, you know, find your own path and just be you?
Well, I will say early on in dating, in my 20s, for sure, he let me learn my own lesson.
Oh, that's so painful.
He did. He never.
I feel you, Pops.
He never said anything about this particular instance. And I was in this for a long time. And he just let me. And I said, why didn't you say anything? He's like, baby, you have to live.
Ooh.
You have to live. But I think that's the one time I was like, don't ever do that to me. Because if I can't see, then you need to be my eyes and tell me. So, yeah, I will say that in that situation, he never said a word to me.
Oof.
And I think looking back, I think he said something to my mom, but neither one of them told me. So
it's tough watching your daughter pick, especially when she picks different than you know she deserves.
Because
it's not about pick somebody just like your father, because when I'm talking about me, because it depends on the period of my life that you pointing at, right? Certain periods I wouldn't want my daughter to find in me.
Right.
Last couple of years been cool. I've been figuring it out. But it is difficult to watch your daughters experience pain. My father and I had a few conversations on the show. And one time he said, I asked him, did you ever see me headed for a train wreck and just watch it? And he said, yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
Right?
You're supposed to have a little bit more emotion. He was like, I said, why? And he said, sometimes hurts help. And I was one of the children, you know, my youngest child story is I pushed the limits. My sister was and still is a saint, as far as I know. Talk to her husband. I don't know. Might have different. Talk to her daughters. They might say different. But I was the one that always had to touch the stove and kind of push the limits and figure things out. And because I was that child to great parents, I was in a two-parent household as well, I find myself like over-parenting my children now because I don't even want them to get close to the stove.
Mm.
But sometimes they have to touch it. So you telling that story about your dad, who clearly loves you, doesn't play about you, having to let you bump your head, I know that hurt him. I don't care what kind of face he put on. And I don't even know you, Pops, but I'm sure that was painful for him to watch.
Yeah, see, I wasn't that kid. I never, with my oldest brother, he laid on the stove, got in the oven,
my man.
Jumped off the porch.
Salute to my man.
God rest his soul, my brother, Troy. I always say like, he must've known it was a short run because he was doing everything. He gave them a run for their money. So I was never, super troubling. I think I had like a year in school where I was just cutting up so bad. I think it was sixth grade. Oh, I was being as bad as possible. But, other than that, I didn't give them any trouble. Like I'm the athlete. I'm getting all the scholarships, I'm on a roll, I'm all of these things. So I think that he probably was just like, let her live and let her see what is out there.
What was it like in those instances where you had to bump your head, and how did he receive you after that? Because it's a fine line between allowing it to prove that you're right and allowing it to ensure that the right thing comes out of it. Like some could be, I told you, so it was hot, but that doesn't always facilitate an improved relationship that prevents the child from kind of, you know, doing the recurring things. But how did he receive you when you stumbled?
I think he just continued to observe, because I'm so big on combing through my own decisions that I'm like, okay, so right here, you saw this flag and you kept going. You saw this. And a lot of it was because, like I was telling you, it was a very long relationship. A lot of it was because I was using my mom as a blueprint at that time, because she was this super wife and all these things. And I'm like, oh, well, you stick with people through stuff. this is how I'm showing up in dating. And I'm like, oh no, you stick with people through marriage, in marriage, not in dating, not in dating when there's not that level of commitment. So, I learned that lesson. I was very vocal about, you know, learning the lesson and them not saying anything, because I knew at a certain point in the relationship that this person wouldn't be my husband, but I was still so focused on not like abandoning him because I felt bad about it. So I learned my own lesson. I was very vocal about it, talked to my parents about it. He didn't really have to. My dad is not like a I told you so.
Nope.
Kind of guy. He's very much sit back, watch you, and if you ask him a question, he will answer. But he's not gonna be like, "So, how did you feel about this?" He's not like that. If you come to him with a topic, he will say, you know, give you advice, the best advice that he can. But he's not very vocal. That's more my mom's role.
Sounds like a man that doesn't waste words.
Mm-mm.
let's see how far down the mountain I can go. What I got from what you were just saying in terms of the commitment level in dating versus the commitment level in marriage is being a wife before it's time.
Right.
When is it time to be a wife? Is it only after I do? Like, is there a switch?
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
That flips after the ceremony, like, what?
I feel like it's important that you show wife-like qualities mm-hmm. because how do I recognize you as a wife if you're not doing nothing that a wife does?
Sure.
And I also believe that God has called some of us to be a wife. Like, it's in you. You were called to be a wife. So you're going to...
That's what you said?
Yeah. I don't think marriage is... I definitely don't think marriage is for everyone because it requires selflessness. And if you are a self-centered person who can't even see yourself, then just steer clear because everybody will be catastrophic. I don't think everybody is called to marriage at all. You can even see that looking around in conversation and, you know, like just interacting with lots of different women. I'm like, you know what? Some women, and two, a lot of women are happy with, or they say that they are happy with, you know, just being by themselves. So I respect that. I respect that. So I can't argue with you if you feel like that's not your calling. But I think in dating, you need to show up as your authentic self. And if that is, wife is ingrained in that, then your husband will recognize that.
You want marriage?
Oh, 100%.
What about the example you saw convinces you that marriage is for you?
My dad, he is not 100% well right now. And I think that it's a huge mistake to grow old by yourself and to not have anyone in those times. But it's just marriage. I also look at all those documentaries my dad showed me. Anything that people are pushing you away from, I say go towards it. Like if it's steadily being dumped on the culture specifically to don't not get married. People are afraid of people taking stuff that they don't even have. You don't even have the gold that they are supposedly digging for. You are fine.
You're not wealthy, sir.
I don't even know where these ideas are coming from, but it's a constant part of the conversation. Oh, you're going to lose half of everything. It's a few dollars that you would be splitting with someone. It's crazy how it's ingrained. And on the other side, like women think some men are just going to disturb your peace and are inconvenient to deal with and all of these things. But that's not necessarily true. Like there are people who are living in beautiful marriages, and it's more likely that you're going to build wealth in a partnership as we are failing to build families and failing to build wealth as well. It's a direct correlation there. So I think it's important to have a partnership. Like me, I think it just balances everything. And I don't think that has to be everybody's perspective. But for me, that's important. Like having that covering is important. I don't want to, like right now, my grass is dead.
Grass grows where you water it.
Yeah, my dad is. Of the fence. My dad's grass was perfect.
Yeah.
My grass is dead as it can be. So I think it's important not only just for those duties, but covering, like cover me in a way of like, there's God, you cover me. And just knowing that you don't have to navigate life by yourself. You have a covering, you have a protector, you have someone to go home to and just do life with.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
So what you said about your father, I completely respect. My father-in-law, my wife's father, is not well at the moment, right? And he's not well at the moment. And that's a part of marriage that is hard to prepare for. Mm-hmm. And it's not a woe is me as the husband to my wife who's dealing with a father that is having health declining, but that's part of the until death do us part.
Right.
Right. And it's that selfless aspect that you were talking about, selfish characteristics. Marriage either undoes it or the marriage comes undone. Mm. Because you can't. Watching my wife change as a woman of a certain age, I can say that, right? As a woman of a certain age that has natural changes.
Right.
To also deal with a father whose health is declining and she's the oldest.
Mm.
And she's the leader of her brother and her younger sister.
Right.
And also her father chose her. It's not a biological father. So the man that accepted her when her natural father wasn't in the picture has been there all these years, seeing him in a different light, because he was the outgoing, he was the football coach, he was the dean of boys at school, he was all these things. And to watch him not be that now, I know hurts her.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts me to watch, and it's confusing because I don't know how to do it.
Right.
But in marriage says, figure it out.
Right.
So it's a whole lot of prayer, a whole lot of patience that I'm learning in this phase. And again, it's tough for me because I have a relationship with him, but it puts into perspective how finite life really is.
Right.
And to go through it with bad intentions or the wrong intentions or alone, I can't imagine rewinding and trying to do it that way.
Right. It's a difficult, you know, place to navigate. Even with my dad, like not being able to be like as active and stuff, I had to figure out a lot of stuff. And it makes you realize, like, because I had an expired, what's that sticker thing on your car?
Registration?
Yes. First, I was like, Daddy, I don't know what to do. He's like, take this paper. And I had to figure that out. And that's just one thing, because my dad always cleaned my car. He always did my inspection sticker. He always did all the things. He showed me how to do things like change a tire.
Yeah.
I could change the battery in my car. I could do some things, check the oil. He showed me those things, but just all the things, like knowing if I need to call my dad because somebody's trying to play with me, it might take him a while, but he already told me he'll use his last breath.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. Let me set it up first. So be clear, I'm setting you up.
Okay.
Did he spoil you?
Am I spoiled? I honestly would say, overall, I would say, yes, I have been spoiled. But my dad, a lot of times, things that he has done to help other family members or do things, he never would do it for me. He never would do. I'm like, why don't you do these things for me? He said, you are fully competent. You are able. You are capable. You are prepared. You are you the one. That's his favorite thing to tell me. He'd be like, you the one. Like, as far as like, you can handle your own. Cause I think too, that has a huge part in me asking for help. Like, I can be struggling and drowning and doing all these things, and I will not say a word, because early on, he was so big on, you don't need anybody for anything. I think when I started to become a swan, he would see like guys trying to pursue me and buy me things and do this. And he would be like, you don't need to buy her this. You don't need to do this. He would have pushback about that. This is my baby. So he was teaching me to be like self-sufficient. Like, you can do these things for yourself. You don't need people to do A, B, or C for you. And then there was a point where he told me it's okay to back off of that a little bit, because then I started becoming like, I don't need anything
right.
from anybody. I can do it by myself. And he's like, okay, now we find a balance of you need to make room for a man to feel needed in your life.
Was it, and that's exactly where I was going, was did he ever pull back on that, or kind of adjust the tone of the perspective as you matured so that you could be accepting of things from a man, right? Because it, yes. sometimes it can go too far. And it's something that I struggle in the right word, but I'm always conscious of. I want my daughters to, how do I want to frame it? I don't want them to not need a man. I want them to be codependent on the one that's for them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's, my life doesn't cease because there's not a man attached to me.
Right.
But I want them to be open to accepting the right man and still be confident and all of that. How has it ever shown up, like your confidence? Because you're a very confident person. And it's clear at this table, it's clear on your online personality and the things that you put out. Has that ever driven a man away? And it doesn't matter because it wasn't the right one, but.
I've had an experience where someone flat out told me, like, I need to feel needed. Like, I need to feel like you need something. But.
Hold on. Let's stay right there. Because I've definitely heard that. And I know I felt like that in different phases of life.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel? Like, what is the. How do you respond to that? Like, I need to feel needed. A man tells you that. Is that an immediate turn off? Is off-putting?
No, I can respect it because of the dynamic of this particular interaction. Okay. It was me pushing back a lot because he was just used to doing and lacked in character. So I was pushing away the things that you're doing so that you could show me the character.
Gotcha.
So it was a bigger picture, but I understood where he was coming from. I could respect it. Like, you didn't have the character, you had the things, and I'm not settling for that. So it was fine. It just wasn't a good match.
Yeah.
But I understood that. And that was very early in my 20s. So I was okay with that. And my dad kind of just laced that into conversations and stuff to kind of, you know, soften yourself a little bit to be able to like make room for someone. And you touched on confidence. And my dad is, I will say, probably solely responsible for my confidence, because he, from the time I was very, very, very small, like if I had this white fur coat, I wanted to wear it. I lived in Dallas all the time. I wanted to wear it in the summer.
2 weeks. Two weeks in Dallas, you can wear that.
Oh, no. I need my white fur. And he, every time I put it on, he was like, oh, don't hurt him. Like, he always made a big deal. Yeah. So I've always had that. And he was very intentional about it, too, because he would always tell me little things before I got to school and when I was in school and stuff about, because I was darker. My dad is very dark. I came out the same, but I was the only darker complexion girl in my house, yeah. Both my mom and my sister. I was just like, why am I dark? Like, I don't understand. Like, why am I a dark girl? Like, I didn't, it wasn't something that I didn't like. It was just that I didn't understand. Like, and I've had family members and stuff, just being from the South, you know, make a difference. Oh, you're so pretty to be dark. And I'm like, well, dang, is that like a disadvantage?
Yeah.
Am I operating at a disadvantage here in life? I don't know. I didn't understand that. But my dad, he would always make a big deal and like, you're so beautiful and all of these things, and tell me all the things that kids would call him growing up. He's like, baby, they call me Skid Mark. So by the time I got to school, it was nothing. I'm like, y'all had to come way harder than that.
Yeah.
It was nothing that they could do. But I think he was very intentional about that. And I'm so grateful, because when I got like 10th, 11th grade, I was just like, oh, I like this skin. I like this. I like it. Like, it was cool. But he was intentional about giving me that confidence. I think he knew. I like, come on, girl, you got to be ready.
Why is it so important coming from a father? And I'll frame it, because I am better with doing and saying it now. Because I didn't grow up in a house where it was, I love you. It was a whole lot of love demonstrated, but it wasn't like, I love you walking out the door. We say it now.
My parents,
me and my father say it now. And I credit my son with teaching me that. My oldest son, I drop him off at school, or if we were departing for whatever reason, he said, I love you. And he would look at me like, are you getting this?
Yeah.
I love you. That's why you just heard me say that. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't love him any less or more before or after that, but I realized it was important to him. And as a man, there's the pseudo pass that we get because it's just a manly thing.
Right.
It's, you know, don't show your emotions, which I've kind of rid myself of that thinking, especially having young sons, young black sons, where the world is not necessarily going to love them. But how important is it for, like, how does it feel as a girl and as a woman? Like, do you still need that now from your father?
Oh, he's going to do it no matter what. Like, him and my grandpa, they were just making a huge deal. Like, no matter what, he's like, oh Lord, I don't know what they're going to do when you come outside today. Like that. I've never had to, we never had to have a conversation about it. It just was naturally a thing that he doesn't, but my dad is a very confident man as well.
Yeah.
Like he is, you cannot tell him. He is the man. Okay. So he just naturally did that. And I think it is so important. And I actually cannot not have that. You have to be vocal about it. Even like we had hugs and I love you and all of those things. And it's very important to me. And I also look at that as an indicator of like, if I have a daughter, yeah, are you able to do that?
Absolutely.
Because if you can't do it with me, then it's not likely that you might, but I would want to be sure that I'm, you know, setting my daughter up to have that same thing. So it's played a huge role in me just feeling like, you know, feeling confident about myself.
That's so important. My wife and I got married young and we had conversations late just because of maturity.
Right.
Not stupidity, but just maturity. And I don't know. I don't have the data on it now, but, you know, I have people that reach out to me. Some of the younger guys that are around when they have challenges, you know, in their marriage, because we're almost, what's today, a few days out from being married 20 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
Which I'm very, very proud of, very grateful for. So if I say that to say I've had 20 years of experiences, chances are I've had a similar experience than that somebody's going through now to a degree. But it's one of those things where you always say you marry somebody based on history, your history to that point.
Mm.
Your marriage is based on hope of where it's going.
Right.
Because you understand, even at 20 or 25, that you're probably not going to be the same person at 30 or 35.
Right.
We rarely think that the other person is evolving the same.
Right.
Maybe not in the same direction, but it's you look up and you haven't had those conversations about what we expect out of life. So when you were saying that if you can't treat me like this, chances are you won't treat our daughter like this. So even just our child in general. Those are things to be very keenly aware of as you're dealing with individuals.
Right. There can be a disconnect. I don't know. People think that marriage sometimes is like this magical ceremony that transforms people into someone who they've never been. But you're going to marry the person that you've been dating, you've been engaged to, the person that you did. There's no magic trick that happens. As a matter of fact, you know, the studies and stuff show that in the beginning, it's even more challenging because you locked yourself in with a person and you've been an individual for your entire life. So trying to merge this together is challenging. And that's why I'm so grateful to have been able to see my parents' marriage, because I know that I am not excited about the idea of marriage. I know that it's work, and I know that people change and they grow and all of these things, and you just have to get someone that's worth the risk and that you want to go through all the changes with.
Yeah.
Like, because that's a very real thing. Like it's been fun watching them be married.
Yeah, having a set of parents that you can reference as an adult, as you being an adult that's still married, is the thing. My parents are they'll be married 52 years in May.
Wow.
And it clicked for me not some time ago, this year. I was having another conversation. I realized that I never really had to go outside of my parents' counsel to get what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And in life in general, I chose to out of pride and, you know, trying to show them that, you know, I'm an adult and I can figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
But that is such a blessing and a life hack. And I'm not saying it as a bragging thing. I'm saying that if there are people that have it and don't understand what a blessing it is, you better realize it before that blessing expires on this earth.
Yeah, you definitely have to take that everything that you can get out of it, because it's so far and few. Like, of my friends that grew up, like, my parents are like their bonus parents, because no one had a household with a mother and a father that like, I can't think of any instance where that was the case. Like, they come talk to my dad, they come talk to my mom, like, and we were just always willing to share our parents with, you know, whoever wanted help from.
Yeah, my partner still stopped by my parents' house.
Like, yeah.
And tell me about it weeks later. Yeah, I was around there. I was like, oh, you was at my mama house? That's our mama house. Lee, this has been great. We're going to start to wind down, but there's a question that I used to ask every guest when I was just guest-based. I've definitely asked every woman, I believe, that's been on the show when we do the series in March. The name of the show is Dear Son. That's clear. What I don't say often is, what I wish my father told me. What is something that you wish your father told you?
Earlier, I touched on me not listening to him. I wish he would have been more stern with me at that point in my life. And just told me to, you know, I think sometimes as children, and I've never been one to just think I know better than my parents, but I do wish that he had been more stern on financial advising. Ooh. In my 20s. He's so good at it. He's so good at it that I don't know why he didn't lean into it more and say, sit your tail down and give me your check. I really do wish that, because if he would have pressed the matter more, I think I would have listened to it, but he would drop here and there and say, well, I know you think I don't know, and just back off of it because I'm his baby. But I do wish that he would have told me, you know, I do know what I'm doing here. So
gotcha.
That's my one thing, because I would have had a lot more invested in real estate than I do today.
I get that from his generation, because my dad, we got to a point where he just allowed me to live and become a man. And he was like, you know, I was clear that I didn't want information from him because I was whatever. And he wasn't going to force it on me.
Yeah.
So man to man, I didn't position him in a welcoming way to like give me information or receive information for a period. He's one of my best friends by definition of what a friend should be. He's that now. growing up, he was very clear that we're not friends. Like this hierarchy is the hierarchy. I'm charged by God to lead you through life to this point. So being friends wasn't on the menu. Before we get out of here, one thing that we didn't touch on is you're a whole author in these streets.
Yeah.
And you have one of your...
I have a journal.
One of your published works.
I have,
y'all don't want to see it by me. Y'all want to see it by put it by your like face.
I have my journal here. Dear Me is just about introspection. I also have Keep the Crumbs, which I do not have here with me today, but both of these can be purchased on Amazon, in which they have been hidden bestsellers in multiple categories. So if you're trying to do a little introspection, then make sure you grab this journal and also grab Keep the Crumbs because it will challenge you.
Gotcha.
Make sure you're ready for the challenge before you purchase.
Gotcha. For the listening audience, is linked down below if you're on the audio platform. If you're watching, you just saw something, I'll make sure that something's inserted that represents where to get it. And how can people find you?
You can find me at BodyByLee, which is BodyXLee.com. You can find me on Instagram at LeeLee1908, Instagram at BodyByLee. And that's pretty much it for now.
Cool.
It's been wonderful being a part of this conversation. I love the work that you are doing. So
thank you so much.
Keep it up.
So before we get out of here, stand on theme with the month of March. Actually, stand on theme with my wife. This is her children's book, Chocolate Princess, Volume 1. Very well illustrated, very well written. I would say for your young scholars of color, your young ladies, 5 to 15. But you can read it to anybody that is outside of that range that would benefit from it. So love, Keisha J. Listening audience is linked down below, as you know. And the audience that's watching, you just saw something flash across the screen as well. I have become a smarter person because of this conversation. I'm more well-rounded because of you. I thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
But no, it's been great having that perspective. I think it'll hopefully it resonates, gives people hope. Women and men, fatherhood is important. It matters at all stages of life. So if you have an opportunity to be a dad, don't be a sucker. That's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.